This podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jeff in Saxey, Texas. And just like Bob, I'm a tactical guy and I like a tactical podcast.
Jeff, wait a minute. That's practical guy and practical podcast.
Oh, never mind.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. This is episode number 396, and I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Well, this is a practical show done by a practical guy, and that is me. Episode 400 coming soon in about 4 weeks. So let me start this episode by saying, please remember to call in your voicemails for episode 400. Maybe you've got a story. Maybe you have a review of some kind of a product. Maybe you have a comment about this show. I'd like to hear what it is that you get from this show every week, how it helps you. I'd like to make episode 400 about you, the listener. That's how I'd like to celebrate 400 episodes. It's about you. So call in 210-646-1727. That's area code 210-646-1727. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. I am headed to a competition shooting match, and I like to record some of my thoughts and things about what's going on with guns while I'm headed out to a shooting match, right? Hey, it works out great. Kind of keeps my mind focused on the topic at hand. And so I got a various amount of topics for this episode. I'm not going to just really stick to one. I've got a few lined out here for you. I'm traveling in the Handgun World mobile studio. And I guess since I just got done talking about voicemails, I actually got one recently that I thought was pretty good, and I want you to hear it. So here's Dave from Utah.
Hello, Bob. It's Dave in Utah. And this is, by the way, not the same Dave that sent the email that you referenced in your most recent follow-up interview with Paul Lathrop. I wanted to address that. So the Dave in the email said that, you know, by not countersuing, basically that Paul is, you know, accepting defeat, that he's refusing to fight, or that, you know, you turning the other cheek is a refusal to fight. But I just need to point out that Paul, who is legally, you know, attacked with the legal system with that false accusation, he chose to initially plead not guilty. He went through the whole process, stated his case, and he won. So he did fight, and he won the case. Why would you keep fighting after you won? And also, some other things, maybe get a little religious here. I used to be a missionary, and we had a church leader come through and talk about forgiveness. Now, he said that forgiveness is a principle of power, because if someone does something that affects you or offends you, and you seek vengeance, it's going to guide everything in your life, and it's going to be in your thoughts, and you're going to be angry. By forgiving somebody, you're saying, you know, what you did hurt me, but I'm going to let it go and try to move on with my life and try not to let that bother me anymore. So you're taking back power from your life. So when Jesus says, you know, vengeance is mine, but I want you to forgive, it's for us to give us power, to give us permission to take control of our lives again. So just wanted to say that, and love the podcast. Keep it up. Have a good one.
Excellent voicemail, Dave. Thank you. You know, Dave talked about winning the battle for our gun rights. And there are several ways that you can win. Yes, Paul Lathrop won his case. He won. The anti-gun prosecutor and the anti-gun accuser didn't get away with taking down somebody that carries a gun. That is a victory. And sometimes victory for gun rights comes in small little chunks of victories. You know, it might not always be a real big victory, but sometimes a series, a collection of smaller victories will equal a large victory. So that's very... Dave, you made some great comments there. Dave's voicemail was very good. I can't add a lot to that. All I'm going to do is I'm just going to say I 100% agree with Dave on this voicemail. So thanks for calling it in. You know, let's remember that we've got to stay vigilant. We've got to stay vigilant in the fight for gun rights. Just because the presidential election went gun owners' way, just because it, you know, we scored a victory basically for gun rights, or at least we avoided a disaster. Let's say it that way. We avoided a disaster for our gun rights. It doesn't mean that we can let up. We got to stay vigilant. We got to keep up the fight. And I've always been a believer that one of the best fights that you can do to protect gun rights is to be a big supporter of the organizations that make a full-time business of fighting for our gun rights. I'm talking about the Second Amendment Foundation, and by the way, I'm going to, at the end of this year, I'm going to make a real nice donation to the Second Amendment Foundation. Those donations are tax deductible, so I could use just probably at least a few more good deductions for this year. So before December 31st, I'm going to make a donation to them. I put my money where my mouth is. Do you? Also, make sure you contribute to the NRA ILA, the Institute for Legislative Action at the NRA. How about your local rifle association? Or how about a local gun rights organization that might be in your area? Are you supporting them? Are you supporting your favorite podcaster that's on the air every single week, trying to educate gun owners, create more gun owners, fight for gun rights in front of thousands of people who listen every week? Are you supporting your favorite podcaster? And by the way, one of the ways that you can do that is you can use my Amazon store when you're doing your Christmas shopping, huh? Hey, I'm recording this 2 days after Thanksgiving. Guess what? That means that the Christmas season has started. I hope you all had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you had good food. Lots of good time with family. There's so much to be thankful for. I have a tremendous amount to be thankful for, even though my family is facing huge challenges. Last week, I had cancer tests done at my every 6 month checkups. Guess what? I'm still cancer free, folks. Praise God. I'm still cancer free. I love MD Anderson. I go to MD Anderson for my treatments and my tests. You know their slogan, making cancer history. They sure do. They've made it for me. I've gone 2 years now. Well, almost 2 years. I'm 2 months short of 2 years from my stem cell transplant. And if I go 2 years, which I will, I'll go 2 years without any recurrence. The doctor says I got an 85% chance of being cured now. So when I started this thing, when the cancer went to my central nervous system and went into my brain, some of you who are new listening to this podcast, in September of 2014, I had a 6-hour brain surgery to remove a golf ball-sized malignant tumor from the base of my brain. And guess what? Because of the great talented doctors at MD Anderson and some divine intervention, I'm still talking to you on this podcast. How about that? And then I went through a stem cell transplant after that, January 2015, which is basically sort of like a bone marrow transplant. If you don't know what a stem cell transplant is, kind of one of the best ways I can describe it is it's a bone marrow transplant. Here I am, still going strong. So I got a lot to be thankful for I got a tremendous amount to be thankful for. And even though my wife struggles, she's actually doing a little bit better lately. She's struggling with ALS, and she's in a hospital still. This is her seventh week now in a hospital. She cannot breathe without the assistance of a ventilator, but they're working on trying to get her weaned off of that. They're having a little bit of success. They need to have some more. She needs to get weaned off of it for about a half a day every day before we can bring her home. So please keep my family in your prayers. But there's still a lot to be thankful for. But it's the Christmas season. So, what about gun stuff for Christmas? What kind of gun stuff do you want for Christmas? What kind of gun things are you going to buy for other people for Christmas? If you buy through Amazon, please help me out during this Christmas season. I got some medical bills I got coming up towards the end of the year that I'm going to have to pay for my wife's care. If you're going to do some Christmas shopping online through Amazon, please go to handgunworld.com and use my Amazon store affiliate link. You don't have to spend any extra money, but every purchase you make will financially help the Handgun World podcast. So I can maximize the amount of money to pay off some of my medical bills and make a small donation to the Second Amendment Foundation, but mainly medical bills. So don't forget that. Amazon store it at handgunworld.com. I also put a link in the show notes now. There's a link in the show notes, a direct link to my Amazon store. Speaking of show notes, I also put a link to my the Self-Defense Radio Network sponsor. There's two major sponsors right now for the Self-Defense Radio Network. Concealment Solutions. Hey, by the way, I just got a horsehide gun belt. A Python horsehide gun belt. Let me do a quick review on that. A Concealment Solutions horsehide Python gun belt. Wow! I love it. Wow! It is. First of all, it's elegant looking. It looks very nice. I could tuck my shirt in. I can wear this thing as a dress belt. Because most of you know I'm in business. I'm in sales. I'm an outside salesperson. I have been doing that over 30 years. So sometimes if I'm going to more of a corporate level type of a sales presentation, I got to tuck my shirt in and put a 380 in my pocket. And that's how I have to carry sometimes for business. So this is a nice looking belt for times when I have to do that. Really, really like it. And the horsehide is so incredibly, it seems like it's going to be incredibly durable and very, very supportive for concealed carry. I mean, it's stiff. It's really stiff so that you can really distribute the weight of the pistol if I'm going to be carrying a larger pistol on my belt. This is going to be great. So I really like the Python horsehide gun belts from Concealment Solutions. Jason does a great job. You can get 10% off of everything except the belts. I didn't get 10% off this. But you can get 10% off of everything except the belts. Any holster, mag carrier, anything that they make, just by using the coupon code SDRN. SDRN. Okay? And you got to use the special link in the show notes. All the Self-Defense Radio Network podcasters are putting a discount link for Concealment Solutions in the show notes. When you check out, put in SDRN. Great belt. You know, don't forget that the belt is one of the most important parts of your concealed carry system. A lot of people forget that. When I teach classes, occasionally somebody will show up with just a regular dress belt, a regular leather dress belt, to try to support a large handgun. That's just not going to cut it, folks. The belt is so important. Don't forget that. Yeah, they're kind of expensive. I think this horsehide gun belt was about $75 or $80. Well worth it. They will last probably five times longer than a cheap $20 dress belt that you buy at JCPenney anyway. And those cheap $20 best dress belts at JCPenney don't work for concealed carry. So don't forget. Now today, as I'm headed out to the competition match, I'm wearing my Wilderness Tactical Instructor's belt. This is the belt I wear most of the time. Wilderness Tactical Instructor's belt, because it's fully adjustable. I'm going to shoot my Glock 34 today in competition. My Glock 34 with Dawson fiber optic front sights, Gen 4. And looking forward to... I haven't shot this in a while. Haven't shot a Glock 34. I've been so focused on shooting my Glock 19s that I just haven't shot a Glock 34 for a while. So it's going to be kind of nice to have that little bit extra long sight radius and see how that helps me out. And my belt is supporting the weight of that, and my holster is, you know, doing a real good job helping me carry the Glock 34. It's on my hip right now as I'm driving out to the match. And speaking of the competition match, you know, I was recently on the Polite Society podcast talking a little bit about competition shooting. Most of you know I'm a very big fan of competition shooting. Today, my philosophy is I'm going to shoot the competition match in a defensive manner. You might think, well, what does that mean, Bob? A defensive manner. Well, some people go to a competition match to play the game. I mean, and when I say playing the game, they're not worried too much about drawing from concealment, or sometimes they don't use proper cover, you know, or sometimes when they perform reloads, they don't think about, you know, performing the reload in a defensive manner, although IDPA rules are changing, and they're kind of becoming more lenient about when you can do a reload. But sometimes, you know, you can do a reload when it's... sometimes it's not real smart the way that some people do reloads. And anyway, I'm going to just for the sake of the challenge, I am going to do my reloads behind cover. I'm going to use cover properly, even though it might take me a little bit longer. Like, for example, I'm sure there's going to be some stages where we've got to shoot through a window. Some people just stand right in the middle of the window and just start shooting away at the targets. Now, what's wrong with that? If you just stand right in the middle of an open window, well, guess what? You're making yourself a target as well, because it's easy to see you and it's easy for somebody to shoot back at you. I'm going to shoot through the window, but I'm also going to use the edges of the window and the wall around the window as cover. And I'm going to try to keep 50% of my body behind that cover so I can make myself less of a target to shoot at. That's what I mean by shooting it in a defensive manner. Yeah, it's probably going to slow me down. Yeah, it's probably going to cost me some time. And I'm not going to be playing the game, so I might not score as high as everybody else. But that's what I want to practice. So shooting competition is a great way to practice some of the skills that you already know. I mentioned that when I was on the Polite Society podcast, that you don't always have to show up and play the game. Nobody's mandating that you do that. And sometimes I do that. Sometimes I play the game and just try to get the best score that I can, and I forget about defensive shooting skills. Because, hey, that's fun to play the game. But I've always said it's such a benefit to be able to pay $25 and spend 3 hours practicing shooting and gun handling skills that are really difficult to practice in most public ranges. So that's what I like about competition shooting. So I'm almost there. Let's go ahead and take a break. For you, it's going to be a really short break. And for me, it's going to be 3 or 3.5 hours of some shooting fun at a competition match. I'll catch you on the other side.
A woman is approximately 10 times more likely to be successfully raped when she doesn't have a gun, according to a Department of Justice study. This explains why women in the United States use firearms about 200,000 times a year to stop sexual assaults. It also explains why more than 40% of women own or already have access to a firearm. So why do some politicians want to disarm women? Maybe rape isn't a serious enough crime in their minds. Or Maybe they don't want to stare down the wrong end of your barrel.
Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
All right, I'm back from practicing my tactical and gunfighting skills at AASA competition at a place to shoot in San Antonio, Texas. It was a fun match. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But I did shoot it mostly tactical. There was only one stage, unfortunately, that forced us, or didn't force us, but gave me the opportunity to practice using cover properly. The rest of the stages were pretty much all out in the open, which, you know, I mean, that's fun, but if you can help it, you don't want to be out in the open in a gunfight. Sometimes circumstances are such that you're going to be out in the open. Sometimes, as we mostly know, the bad guy determines how the fight goes at first. He at least determines how the fight starts. The bad guy. So you're in a reactive situation. So that's also, it's also good on some of those stages that are out in the open to at least practice being able to react. And of course, you know, we were able to practice our movement and all the good stuff that comes with competition shooting. And if you are in a gunfight, unfortunately, in case that bad day happens, I've said that many times, we don't want to be in a gunfight. Who does? Who really wants to be? Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, hey, I think I want to get into a gunfight today. If you do think that, you probably need to get some help with that. But we all train because that's why we carry guns. They're life insurance policies, aren't they? A gun's a very inexpensive life insurance policy. At least it's a life insurance policy for a specific type of life-threatening event. So if you do get into a fight, there will be two fights that you're going to have to win. The first one's the gunfight itself, but the second one is the legal battle. And let me tell you, you are going to get into a legal battle, even if you were correct. Just go back and listen to episode 381 with my good friend and fellow podcaster on the Self-Defense Radio Network, Paul Lathrop. So if you don't have about 12 to 15 grand to start your legal defense, the other sponsor of the Self-Defense Radio Network is the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. Now, I tell you, I don't want to have to use my gun and save my life and then spend several years in prison, even though I was right because I didn't have good representation. So consider joining the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network for only $135 a year. And, of course, renewals are less than that. They'll take that worry away from you. Just do me a favor. Help the Self-Defense Radio Network by using Paul Lathrop as your coupon code, tracking code. It doesn't give you a discount, but it tells them that we're sending them traffic. And it helps you support the Self-Defense Network, and you don't have to spend any extra money. So this match was a lot of fun. Ted Bonnet designs lots of real good, fun stages. I only had a couple misses today, which in a five-stage match, only two misses, I thought was pretty good. I tried to purposely slow down a little bit and make decent hits. I didn't slow down too much, but enough to make good hits. My Glock 34 with my Dawson fiber optic front sights was wonderful to get back to reacquainting myself with that gun and shooting that gun again. I also shot three stages with my new Larry Vickers Glock 19 with the really cool RTF 2 rough texture finish that Glock used to make, and now they're only making it on specific pistols. It does make a difference. It's going to make a lot more difference in the summertime when it's really hot. I think that's going to be a gun that I primarily carry in the summer when my hands and arms sweat a little bit more in the 100-and-something degree heat that we get here in South Texas. I'm still trying to get used to the heat of South Texas. I lived in North Texas for a long time in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Had to try to get used to the heat there, too. You got to remember, folks, I'm a Yankee. I was born in New York City, then raised in Wisconsin. So us cheesehead Yankees from up north in Wisconsin, we don't do 105 degree heat. I've gotten used to it now, though, after about 22 years of living in Texas now. I've gotten used to it. But I still sweat it up pretty good in the summertime, and so I think my Larry Vickers Glock 19 is probably going to be what I carry most in the summertime. Speaking of, you know, of cool Glocks, I am going to finally, I've been talking about this now for 3 years. I'm finally this weekend going to order a red dot sight for one of my Glock 19s. I'm going to send my slide to Suarez International and probably get the Trijicon RMO2 put on it with the Suarez suppressor sights. And then I'm going to take John Payne's red dot school that you heard about in the last episode in February and learn how to run a Glock with a red dot sight. I know they've been out for a long time and lots of people are going to them now. I'm one of these late adopters, I guess. But I do see the value in it, especially now since I just turned 55. And my eyes are never going to be good enough to get real clear images on narrow front sights. Now, I have learned to shoot with blurry sights. My shooting has not diminished at all since my sights got blurry because of my eyesight. I wear progressive glasses. But the thing is, I can't use the reading glass portion of my glasses to shoot. That just doesn't work. It makes me put my head in an awkward position. So I'm using the distance section of my glasses and, of course, my front sight's blurry. Well, both front and rear sights. But you learn. You learn. Like I had Grant Cunningham on here a few months ago. And Grant wrote a great article about those of you that are in my position and you have eyesight that starts to waver on you. How many of you are like that? Come on now. How many of you listening to this, your eyesight's starting to give way on you? That's just what happens when we hit our 50s. Some people, I've heard, it happens to them in their 40s. Some, too bad. Some people even in their late 30s, that happens to them. And some people, not at all. Some people are in their 70s and their eyesight's great, but God bless you, if that's your case. Not mine. So the red dot sight is going to be really advantageous. It really will. I'm going to get the 6.5 MOA dot so that it's nice and big and I'll be able to see it. And the cool thing about a red dot sight is that's all I got to worry about. It's the red dot. I don't have to worry about anything else. I don't have to worry about lining up front sight and rear sight and all that other stuff. Just put the red dot on the target, cleanly press the trigger, and there goes the bullet. And I'm going to do that, send a slide off, have it milled and a Trijicon put on it, and probably compete. Well, if I shoot AASA like I shot today, they got a division for the red dot pistols. IDPA does not. I don't like that, but, I have other guns I can shoot in different IDPA divisions. No problem. Yeah, it's hard for me to find a USPSA club that shoots in San Antonio. I know they exist, but it's hard for me to find them when I'm available to go do it. So my choices are mainly IDPA and AASA. And then, of course, getting out with Ben Branham and training and training and training, and also teaching. In fact, I might go do some practicing and training with Ben this Monday, day after this podcast releases. He usually has a standing range appointment and a standing range reservation Monday mornings. And I like to go do that, take a little time off of work. A lot of times on Monday mornings, I get up super early, start my work for my real job early, about, you know, 6:45, 7 o'clock in the morning, get a bunch done, then take a couple hours break, go to the range with Ben, practice, and then go back to work. That's fun. Hey, you know what? Life is rough, isn't it? It's such a tough life that we live. That's the great thing about having a job where I don't have to report to an office. I don't have to keep certain hours each day. I run my own schedule. I do it my way. As long as I sell my quota every year, my boss is happy. He doesn't care. He doesn't care how I pull it off as long as I do it. We have a discussion if I don't do it each year. But I've been doing pretty well I've been doing pretty well 4 out of the last 5 years. Only one bad year. All right, anyway, back to guns. So it was a lot of fun. And we shot a lot of steel. I love shooting steel. Shooting steel is just really a lot of fun. But we also shot some paper targets so we could concentrate on accuracy. We had to put everything inside of an 8-inch circle. And you might think, oh, 8-inch circle, what's so hard about that, Bob? Try moving. Try moving at a pretty brisk pace and putting all of your shots into an 8-inch circle. Not as easy as you might think from about, you know, 5 to 7 yards while you're moving at a pretty good pace. Not a snail walk, but I mean moving along. Who's going to do a snail walk in a gunfight? Yeah, that's one thing. That's one thing about competition that is kind of weird. You know, you see these guys, and you know, the stage says you have to move. So they do this, I call it a snail walk, because they're just really, really moving super slow, but they don't get a penalty because it counts as moving. But who's going to really do that in a fight? Even if it's not a gunfight, even if somebody's got a bat, or they got a knife, or they got something that they want to try to bludgeon you to death with, you going to snail walk? I don't think so. But anyway, like I said, it's a game, and you can choose to shoot it any way you want to shoot it, and I chose to shoot it defensively. All right, well, that's pretty much it for this episode. I hope that all of you have had a good Thanksgiving, and you're gearing up for the Christmas season. Send me those voicemails. I'd like to hear what you're getting from the Handgun World podcast. I'm going to save most of them for episode 400. And please remember our Shooters Club. Ben Branham and I are really proud of our Shooters Club. We've had a lot of people sign up lately. Only $75 a year, $8 a month. And training classes, we got a lot of those coming up. You can get discounts at selfdefenseradio.net. If you go to that website, selfdefenseradio.net, and put in SDRN, all lowercase, SDRN, all lowercase, you can get some nice discounts on our training classes and the Shooters Club. Oh, one more thing that I want to talk about, which is gun-related. You know, this was the first time I had a chance to shoot my Larry Vickers Glock 19. I really like the Wilson Combat sights with the brass bead front sight. That's a pretty cool combination. It doesn't do real well at night. You can't see that brass bead very well at night. But out in the daylight, that's a great combination. The sights are really good on that. And, you know, I have another third generation slide that I'm going to have the RMR put on. So I'm also going to shoot this gun once I get my RMR. I'm going to shoot it with a red dot on it and see how I can do with the red dot. I really like Larry Vickers' controls. He put some thought into it. And I know that Larry Vickers is occasionally a controversial trainer. Who isn't? Hey, you know, if you don't have some controversy surrounding you, I think it's actually a good thing, if you really think about it. Because first of all, if you get criticism, I shouldn't say controversy, I should just say criticism. That's a better way to put it. And I get my share of criticism, folks. If you get criticism, first of all, it means you're reaching people. If you're not reaching anybody, you're not going to get a lot of criticism because not too many people are listening or watching or paying attention to you. So it's kind of a compliment to get some criticism. And I've mentioned it many times before, you should not always agree with everything that an instructor or a podcast or radio show host says. Because nobody is right about everything. I'm a firm believer in that. I hope you're not agreeing with everything I say on this show. In fact, I like feedback with other opinions and things like that. Keep sending them. Voicemails are great if you've got some alternate opinion or alternate thing to say, which is a little bit different than what I say. Let me hear it. 210-646-1727. So anyway, Ben Branham and I are going to be teaching in Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Utah, Illinois, South Dakota, and Ohio so far. Just go to selfdefenseradio.net. By the time this podcast airs, I'm going to have all the classes listed there, and I'm going to have all the classes listed on my website under the training classes page. We may be scheduling a couple of more classes for next year, but check it out if you're in those states and you can come train with us. We're going to be teaching Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced two-day class, except for the San Antonio class is going to be one day, the Art of the First Hit. There's still some spots left for that. That's January 21st here in San Antonio. All right, folks, thanks for listening. I'll catch you next week. I'm Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll catch you next week. Goodbye.